gentlemen, and Happy New Year. I know it's kind of late, but this is the first Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic show of the new year. We got a great subject tonight. Yeah, awesome time all around. I'd like to thank everyone. I hope everyone had a great Christmas, had a great New Year, stayed safe, and hopefully getting ready to kick off 2013. Right, if you haven't been out already. All right, let's get into some news and topics. And also say welcome to everyone in the chat room. We got a first-time live listener, Chris Johnson. What's going on, man? We have a guest. Remember, guests and anyone listening to the podcast, feel free to call in during the live shows at any time. The number is 714-816-4727. It's a roundtable discussion. More than willing to answer any questions or anything like that. If you would like to join us in the chat room and, you know, say hello, goodbye, whatever, please feel free to do that. You can use your Facebook to log in, and easy peasy. Simple as that. All right, like I said, we have the guest. We have King Rat. He is in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Man, you are a long way from home, bud. Excuse me, but welcome. Great to have you on, and in the chat room and also live on the air is Mr. Matt Trucks Yakchum. What's going on, man?
Hey, good evening, Wheeler. Not much, man. Just tuning into your first show of the year, and I see the topic's going to be hunting and trapping, so I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, I actually just started trapping out of my kayak, you know, this year. And I've done very well for myself. Let's put it that way. We'll get more into that in a little bit. More people are rolling in. Old Bill out of Kansas. We just lost Matt. No problem. And Tuesday night host, along with his wife, Mr. Mark Lozier. What's going on, man? All right. Let's kick this off, like I said, with some news. I think everyone's seen it on Facebook, or if you watch CNN or live down in Jacksonville, one of the shark-tagged great whites was no more than 200 yards off the beach of Jacksonville. Anyone that knows Chris Sensi or Slayer Inc., Chris lives right there, and was sitting there trying to look around, and he started looking around and couldn't find him, but she's moved offshore, and I can't say enough about, you know, how O-Search and, you know, everyone there, you know, how this is just cooler than snot to be able to, you know, track these sharks. It's definitely awesome. Let's see here, other news. If you don't know, the Menhaden Trust, Menhaden Defenders, well, all of us kind of won. There was a, right before Christmas, I think I talked about this before, but if I didn't, talk about it now. The Atlantic Marine Fisheries Council had their meeting on the Menhaden reduction, and we've got a 20% reduction, which is huge. We wanted 25, but we'll take 20. Yeah, I mean, huge, you know, step forward in the right direction, you know, to see the Menhaden actually getting some sort of help is a huge thing. So what about fishing? You know, this is a fishing show, by the way. News on the fishing side is this. It was a rough season for some biggins on the Eastern Shore. Excuse me. You know, it was really difficult, you know, even for the boaters to get some real big fish or just quantity of fish on the trolling side. Power went out. You know, even the Mid-Atlantic Rockfish Tournament that was just this past weekend, a 38-pounder caught on the last day won it. I mean, you know, good for them, but, you know, for everyone else, that's a rough 3 days going out not catching diddly. So, you know, ocean stripers are here. You just got to find them. Found some on Sunday on my buddy's boat. We caught two, all 40 inches and all kind of skinny, which really worries me. You know, could we have a really bad breeding year because they are so skinny, all things we need to keep an eye on. So, yeah, let's get right to the topic. Kayak hunting and trapping. We'll start with hunting first because that's one that many of us are you know, thinking of doing if we hunt, especially duck hunt. Kayak hunting in general is just, you know, is the bee's knees. I've done a trip on Monday out of the kayak going after some ducky poos and some other flyers, mostly geese is what I was looking to get, a couple of Canadians. And, you know, it was a ton of fun. Didn't see anything, but, you know, any one of us that have been out on a lake paddling around going, man, look at all the ducks, look at all the geese, only makes sense. I went back down, you know, I went ahead and did a lot of research, talked to a couple guys that are doing it. Hobie has a system that they have out. What is a link to the blonde comic version of the show? Sorry, King Rex just posted up in the chat room. Darn, I don't even know off the top of my head. There you go. Thank you, Mr. Loader. But Hobie has a setup. Mark, I believe, because Mark is a pro staffer with Native Kayaks and Liquid Logic. I believe they have kayaks set up for duck hunting. I know that the Freedom Hawks have been used for duck hunting. The reason I can say that is Freedom Hawk has, or the Jackson factory where Freedom Hawk is made, those kayaks are made at the Jackson factory. And Jackson had a boat there that was a Freedom Hawk that had that was dipped in moss yoke camo, which was really cool. So that could be coming down the pipe for Jackson. I know that the Ibis, hang on, I think Ibis is the one that we're pushing at Jackson for the hunting. Do you know that? Can you think? The Kilroy, thank you. The Kilroy, the Ibis, geez, that's the touring boat. Yeah, the Kilroy, that's the one Jackson has, and that's going to be a killer duck hunter. But I know that the Big Tuna is going to be my thing. Matt, do you do any duck hunting or hunting in general? Matt? You there, buddy?
Nah, sorry about that. I have myself on mute. But, yeah, the Kilroy. You got me up there?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I haven't done any hunting yet. I do have the tools. I'm ready to get some skills in it, but not yet.
Yeah. I took that Big Tuna and, you know, Yak Attack products. They're not just for fishing. Luther, you're going to kill me, but I just brain farted all your products. The slide track, there it is. Thank you. but use the Yak, the slide tracks system that Yak Attack has. Put two on the bow on the port and starboard side, and then another one near the stern, and then connected the ram balls to a ram mount to posts that I made for my drop-down blind. And I'm telling you, man, that was awesome. Sit out there. It was a chain of three ponds at this property that I'm doing some other hunting on and trapping, which I'll talk about that in a minute. And it was just the bee's knees, man. It was awesome being able to sit there and, you know, each pond is connected by a little canal. You know, if that wasn't working out or I saw them at another pond, I just paddled down there. The lab was my lab was happy as could be on the bow. And, even the property owner drove by a couple times on his farm road and looked over, and he said, I couldn't see you, man. until you, you know, I see you pop your head up over top of the blind, you know, and break down how the blind, how I had it worked out. Depending on which side it's on, I just flipped the side, so, you know, port or starboard, for the drop-down sections. And then each, the main post that went up got a just a hinge on it. And on the hinges and in the posts, I just put some cami netting across and then took some of the reeds that, you know, were free-float and just stuck them in there, you know, just trying to camouflage as much as possible. And, you know, they'd fly by, and, you know, the theory was if I could get them to fly by close enough, was I just, you know, pushed on it and it would fall forward and I'd have more than enough room to, you know, boom, put the herd on them. And, you know, didn't get a chance to, but, you know, I really think that, you know, jump hunting, you know, for ducks and geese and everything else would be awesome. You know, I talked to a couple of guys that do what they call cast and blast. And basically they float down a river or fish a pond or whatever, fishing the top the whole time. You always know what happens. You're sitting out there hunting or, fishing, and here comes, you know, three or four wood ducks, you know, buzzing you. And you're going, man, I really wish I had my, you know, my boomstick, you know, or geese or whatever. And, you know, always when you're sitting there hunting, you know, or fishing, excuse me, you know, it just seems right. I know guys that have a lot of success doing it. I've seen other guys doing it. Yeah, and Drew knows, you know what, I'd love to get Drew out there. Drew Gregory and you know, Goose and Geese Fame, I would want to call it. You know, and let him, you know, exact some revenge. Mr. Loader says the Ultimate has a max 4 covers. That's awesome. Yeah, it is a Ducks Unlimited event, and filled up with decoys in the lab. And that was the great thing about the Big Tuna, was I could, you know, load up all my decoys, you know, and while I'm, you know, not really set up yet, I could set all the decoys out and then slide into the shore or wherever I was sitting at, and, you know, put everything up and sit there and relax. The lab could move back and forth and, you know, do his thing and sit there, you know, drinking a cup of coffee and just, you know, putting out some duck talk. And, and when I moved, just paddled up, grabbed his decoy and dropped him behind me and kept on going. It was a lot of fun. so, yeah, I mean, awesome time. Had a blast. You know, and I think that's something that I'd really like to get a bunch of guys together, you know, float down the James River, you know, up in the middle section there. But that would be I know there's a ton of ducks. I've seen a bunch of wood ducks there, which are my personal favorite, along with the green heads and some pintails. I think that would be an excellent, excellent time for everyone involved. You know, catching smallmouth and, you know, sitting there reeling the smallmouth, and here comes, you know, a couple wood ducks, put down the rod for a second, hammer the wood ducks, catch your fish and paddle over and catch your wood ducks. I think that would be pretty cool. But, yeah. Other ways of kayak hunting. Now, what would be your dream kayak hunt? Matt? All right. Other ways of kayak hunting that are out there, which should be you know, for those in Texas, you guys have a great thing in the hogs and how lenient you guys have them things. In Texas, you can, I don't know of any other states, but in Texas, you can hunt hogs from the water. Hell, you can hunt hogs in Texas from a helicopter, okay? I think that's Cuervo, Texas, I believe. I have an invite to hunt there whenever I get to Texas. It should be a ton of fun hunting hogs from a kayak. It always seems almost unfair flowing down one of those small rivers or small creeks and, you know, the hogs come by and just hammer from the shoreline. Should be a ton of fun.
they're an invasive species in Texas, I believe, right?
Oh, they're invasive species everywhere, man. From Florida, Texas, here in Virginia. You know, but a lot of states don't allow you to shoot from the water. But that kind of leads me into this. Turkey hunting. Anyone that knows me in the springtime, there's two or three things going through my mind. One of them is fishing, okay? The other one is turkeys. And the other one's sitting on my garden. But hunting turkeys. I love hunting turkeys. And there's a lot of spots that I know of that I cannot get to, i.e. because there's a swamp or whatever, to get to a spot where I can hunt those turkeys. And it's actually something I've actually been really thinking about doing, is using my kayak. Paddle into the spot, because it's not something the turkey's going to be used to, is a guy paddling in, setting up, and then hammering, putting the thunderstruck on the thunder chicken. I really think, Matt, that's going to be killer for me this season. So I've got a couple of spots that are, landowner owns, a pond or has an adjacent piece of property that you can only really get to without, taking some people off, on the water,
I take it you can hunt on the water on private property.
What's that?
I take it you can hunt from the water on private property.
No, I'm talking about paddling up to the spot, beaching the kayak, and then just walking in. Using the kayak as a means to, find them birds.
Instead of hiking.
Yeah.
That works.
And I know a couple of spots where a couple of hunting properties that I hunt on where those turkeys roost right on the edge of the water. You know what I mean? And,
right.
I'm picturing one right now. It's a large maple tree that they roost in every spring, and I can never get to the dang things because they see me coming, early in the morning, and they go to the other side of the river. So my idea is coming on the water side and not looking that way, because every time I've been there, they look straight down the road and they can see me coming. And, pretty much sit right underneath their roost, with them and fly down and then just hammer them. Because I personally believe that there's nothing better than a roast wild turkey with morel mushrooms. And, anyone that turkey hunts knows all about morels and how delicious they are with the – oh, man. This past spring, I did a stuffed turkey breast with morel and wild mushrooms. Oh, man. My lips are smacking my forehead, dude.
That's really good.
But, now that's the whole point that I show is, how can we incorporate kayaks into our hunting, those of us that hunt large tracks that, have spots where, the wind's just not right, but we want to hunt a stand, let's say. And, you can come in, paddle in, beach your kayak, climb up in your tree. The deer aren't pushed or spooked or anything like that. Man, that could be awesome, too, And plus, on a big kayak like the Native, our Native 14, that'll handle, sticking a dressed deer in the front.
You're definitely coming in silent, not stepping on twigs and making a lot of noise going through the leaves and everything.
Exactly. And, just as easy to spray it down with some scent, be gone, They're pretty, scent-free as it is, or just smear some mud on it. I mean, it's almost limitless, for those guys up in Maine and Alaska where they get the moose. They can hunt from the water. You see those float ships in like Nova Scotia where they're hunting the moose. I think that would be awesome, man. Three or four guys floating down the river, and just, waiting for a moose to walk out and hammer the moose, dress them out, put them on everyone's kayak, and, spend 3 or 4 days floating the river. I think that would be awesome, man.
Yeah. moose don't even really care you're there. Until you start shooting at them.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, kayak hunting, I think, really has, you know, is going to be just as popular, especially with the duck hunters, man. You know, with the, you know, natives, you know, and everyone understands that, you know, I am a Jackson Pro staffer, but I will talk, you know, great on other companies. And the native has a great product, especially with that Max 4 cover. I mean, that's just going to be cool, you know, for you know, hardcore duck hunters. A Commander from Wilderness Systems would be a great boat, you know. Only downside with them is just trying to get the dog in if you need a dog. And personally, I didn't really need the lab, because if I shot him, I could just pile out, grab him, go back, and be honky-dory. Being able to just load it in the back of your truck, throw all your decoys in the kayak at the house, and everything else you're going to need, drag it out, put it on some wheels, wheel it to the water, and take off. I mean, instead of, you know, having to find a boat ramp, you know, I really think that's going to be an awesome sauce thing, you know, to come down the pike. But with that being said, I love trapping. And if anyone, I just started trapping again this year. For those that do trap and know the fur market, muskrats are it. Muskrats are the ticket this year. You know, really easy to trap. You know, they don't take very much time to get, you know, the fur prepped, and they're bringing about $10 of fur.
Cool.
Please check with your local regulations, please, before you do any water trapping or trapping in general. Make sure you have the correct licenses to do it, and have all the gear for it. You know, I can really tell you, the best thing to have, if you're just a starting trapper, you know, don't worry about the traps first. Get all the stuff to handle after you trap the animal. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about, make sure you have your fleshing board, your stretchers, your knives, a place to put the furs, you know what I mean? If you have a small apartment, you know, you'll make a huge mess when you get your first raccoon and you start fleshing them out. You know, a freezer. You know, all those things first before you start buying traps. And,
You need an old shed out back to nail the pelt to so you can dry it.
Actually, they don't do that anymore, except for beaver. And with beaver, you can either use a hoop or a piece of plywood, because with beaver, you know, you just do like a regular cut right down to the midsection of the belly, and you just basically open them all up, and then you tack a big hoop or a big basically like a big round blanket of beaver hide on there, you know. And if you are queasy or you don't like what I'm saying or you don't believe in it, hey, that's fine, you know. But I love trapping. You know, I take my kids out with me, and it's a ton of fun, you know. And at the end of the year, in trapping year, I sell all those hides and all that work, and I get a little check, and it's a lot of fun, you know.
Did you ever trap a skunk by accident?
Yes.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to talk about how you dispatch a skunk.
All right.
You got to hold your mouth right and talk real sweet to them. But trapping with a kayak. Now, if you want to trap muskrats, mink, otter, beaver, this is the way to go. And I truly believe it. You know, trudging through the mud of a swamp, you know, getting stuck or falling down or whatever, you know, it's not fun. But, you know, simple things for trapping. You know, we're going to talk about muskrats because they are so easily and readily available. Heck, you can trap muskrats on the side of the road, in a little ditch, as long as it's got some water and some food there for them, reeds, coon. Sorry. Sorry about that, folks. Phone died.
I don't know if I lost you or you lost me.
Yeah. But no.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be back. Yeah. You know, long time. But yeah. You know, trapping for muskrats. They're easily, readily available. You can basically any pond. Yeah, we're having some issues with Blog Talk, and as soon as the show's over with, folks, I'm going to send Chip an email and see if we can get this fixed. It took me forever to get logged in today. But, yeah. But trapping for, you know, muskrats. It's really simple. All you need to do is you don't need to buy a lot of expensive stuff. If you're in the construction industry or you know someone that is, or someone that might have some pallets, right there you have a great way of setting up. And that's called a floating set. And it's basically what you do is you cut the pallet down, and then you buy a bunch of old, cheap, you know, size 1 or 1.5 leg hole traps, okay? Tack them in through the chain. Onto the board, and then on each pallet cross board there, the 1x4s, you just lay the trap on top of there, and then right in the middle you can stick a stick or a nail and put a carrot on there, or whatever. Go out in the water, anchor it somehow, either with a 10-ounce weight or a brick or whatever on a rope so it can float up and down and do what it needs to do. They come up there, and if you are squeamish or you don't, you know, want to hear about this, and shut off the show now, but the rat comes up there, puts his foot in the trap, it closes on his foot, he falls in the water, he can't, the weight's, the trap's too heavy for him to come back up, and he drowns. Simple as that. And you go
out
there.
That's the kind
of
trap that with the claw that clamps down, or is it like a box trap?
It's a foothold trap. You know, everyone imagines when I say foothold or talk about them, you know, the bear traps with the teeth, and they're illegal. You can't use them. You know, I've got my hand caught in some of my bigger ones, and yes, it hurts, but it's, you know, it's not like a, you know, break a hand kind of thing. With the footholds, that is. You know, it stings. You know, you just caught your hand in between metal, two pieces of metal closing down on you. But, you know, they make them now with rubber padding on them, for all the people that think it's cruel and unusual. You know, I've caught my hand, I've caught my foot. I think the worst was I forgot where my trap was, and I put my knee down and came right across my kneecap.
Ow.
Yeah, it was one of those funny bone moments, like, oh, please, God. they don't suffer is the best thing about it when they drown like that. They're in there. The moment they expire. They're not sitting there, you know, freezing or whatever. You know, and it's pretty easy to find it. You know, you paddle down, and if there's traps on there, you know you got. Yeah. If there's traps on the float, you know you didn't get anything. If there isn't traps, you go over and pick them up and throw them in, and you keep on going. Along with that, you've got the conibears. And the conibears are the body grips. Those are the instant kills. If they are set correctly, and just please, folks, understand something, okay? Just like anything else, just like eating too much McDonald's is going to make you fat, just like if you mishandle electrical stuff, you will get zapped. You know, in the right hands, you won't get zapped. You know, it's all about knowing what you're doing and doing it correctly. That's what I'm trying to get at. And those of us that know what we're doing don't have an issue. The animal doesn't suffer, no issues. For those conibears, you set them up. They swim through, it's basically two wire X's. Think of a mousetrap, best way to put it. Hits the trigger, bar comes down, and, you know, perfect world, perfect situation, you know, comes in, hits him right behind the head, severs his, you know, breaks the neck, and they're done. No suffering, you know.
That's a humane trap right there.
Yeah, I mean, I love conner bears. A lot of people don't like them because people do misuse them. And there are situations where, you know, they have them set up as 110 is your smallest, 220 is the mid-range, and your 330s are your big ones. 330s used for beaver, you know, coyote, stuff like that. And, you know, last thing you want to have happen is a beaver getting stuck in a 110. Because it's not going to do the job, you know. So, you know, through experience and knowledge, please, folks, do the research. There are a lot of great sites for Trappers of America, local trapping organizations, Virginia Trappers Association here locally. And there's a lot of guys out there with a lot of knowledge that are really willing to, you know, take the time, take you out there and show you how to do it correctly. And that's a big thing. You know, do the research. There are hundreds of videos out there, books on trapping. And, you know, read up on it and do it right, and you will never have to have that issue of thinking, did that animal suffer? You know, did I do it right? Because it will always be right, and it always work. Sorry, kids are having issues.
That's good knowledge. I mean, the only trapping I've ever done off a kayak is blue claw crabbing. So.
Yeah. You know, and that's another thing, too. I mean, if the seasons were right along with each other, I'd, you know, be putting my muskrat trap down right next to my crab trap.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Surf and turf.
There you go, man. You know, personally, I wouldn't eat a muskrat, but I have because I'm not going to catch something and not try it once. It's a acquired taste.
Something
you know, just like, what's that?
Thought the muskrat was a stew.
Yeah, that's kind of how I did mine. You know,
yeah.
Let it soak in salt water for a few days and, you know,
it's
just get some of that
gamey. You
want to
throw on the grill.
Yeah, no.
It might be a little gamey.
Know, yeah. It was definitely, you know, my wife who didn't grow up eating, you know, gamey meats, she had an issue with it, but I thought it was okay. You know, not something I'm going to eat every day. Raccoon. Folks, if you never had raccoon or you haven't had it done right, you are truly missing out. I'm telling you what. I made some raccoon, which you can catch out of the kayak. Water sets the same way. But I, you know, low and slow, make sure I got all the glands and the stuff out of them, all of the fat, and, you know, low and slow, and, you know, did a, I didn't do the hash, I did the pulled coon sandwiches, and that was amazing, and that's actually my wife tore into that, along with beaver. There's a reason that the Native Americans loved to eat beaver. If you read a lot of the older stuff from the colonists, they catch a beaver, and those, you know, the Native Americans would go crazy over it, and there's a reason for it. Beaver is really good. It's already got a woody taste to it, and yeah, you like to eat beaver or whatever. You know, it's got a woody taste to it, so it's great smoked, and I did a brisket, I especially put it with the hams of a beaver. These beaver are just big to begin with. And it was amazing. It was really, really good, actually. You know, smoked it and then, you know, baked it. And, you know, it was really, really good. You know, and just, you know, having that knowledge and you know, not wasting it is what it's all about. And, you know, being able to hunt and trap out of a kayak, like I said, is just so much fun, especially the trapping side. You know, because I've got a couple spots on some of our saltwater tidal rivers that I trap on. And, you know, I have my sets, my floating sets, my waterside sets right there on the banks. you know, going after the raccoons, the muskrats, mink, beaver. A lot of beaver in Virginia. Easy there, folks. Lots of
That's
beaver.
That's why I love going to Virginia.
and otter, too. You know, and being able to sit there and fish for, right now it's speckled trout. It seems to be the only thing around. You know, catching a speckled trout, coming around a corner and, you know, looking over and there's my, you know, raccoon set with a big boar coon sitting there. It's like, you know, this is awesome, man. you know, it's a ton of fun. And I really, you know, if you never or you've always thought about doing it and want to get into it, for those in Virginia, the Virginia Trappers Association, virginiatrappers.org, is a great spot to start off with. A lot of great info. And a lot of good people there that are willing to spend the time. Ducks Unlimited for all the hunters. National Wild Turkey Federation. Can't say enough about them. The NWTF. Let's see here. CCA, Coastal Conservation. They're a great supporting factor in the duck hunting. Do conservation and preserving our wetlands is the biggest thing. Eastern Shore of Virginia, awesome duck hunting area. You know, lots of little marshes that you can slide into and put the wood down on some flying birdies. So yeah, Matt, do you have any questions on or comments, concerns, anything?
Honestly, I've never been hunting or trapping before, so all this knowledge is great. So, not too many questions on that portion at the moment.
Right. Yeah, you know, I didn't talk about a lot about trapping because it is a sensitive subject. You know, nowadays people don't think trapping is needed, but you know what?
It's a good skill to have anyway. I mean,
true, definitely. But along with that, you know, without trappers. Without trappers, you know, cosmetics, a lot of the stuff that, you know, a lot of people use. You use the byproduct, I guess the best way to put it, of the fur industry to create their, you know, products. You know, the glands and the, you know, with beaver, it's castrum. You know, skunk essence, guess what? Skunk, the stuff that makes skunk skunky. Is when it's aged, actually smells really good. I'm also a sick bastard, and I do think skunks smell good.
Yeah, I guess if you're not right on top of
trap. You know, and that skunk stuff is actually in a lot of perfumes. The skunk essence, the rendered down stuff, aged stuff. It's kind of crazy. Once you start really looking into it, it's you know, there's a lot of uses for all that stuff, the glands and the, you know, the fats. A lot of your natural oils for your oil lamps or whatever are rendered down coon, beaver, your real fatty fats, you know, through farmers and whatever else. So it's pretty cool. And Chris says, when they take our guns, we need a trap. And you know what? Let's hope it never comes down to that, bud. You know,
agreed.
I think I'd have... What's that?
I agree, 100%. I hope it doesn't come down to that.
Yeah, because, I don't even want to think about that personally. But trying to, you know, hunt deer with a, you know, 7-foot-long mouse trap, you know, that would, you know, be a pain in the butt to try to get out in the field. So, yeah, I mean... I really think that
hunting and trapping is a great part of the ecosystem. It's how everything works, and
right.
You know, you take that out of the equation, things can become out of whack, and it just doesn't work right. It's,
right.
You know, it's just like fishing. Over hunting and over fishing is no good, but no hunting and no fishing is also no good.
Right. I've been doing some nuisance wildlife control because I am trapping, and Virginia has a great program with that. But, you know, people complain that, you know, you're trapping, and then on the first one they call when they've got a squirrel in the attic or, you know, a raccoon's in their trash or whatever. It's all needed thing. You know, for those that are farming here in Virginia, we have Nutria. I mean, and bad down the southern end of Virginia Beach. It's the point now where one farmer, I was just out at his place today, actually, he's got about an acre and a half of what were going to be soybeans destroyed due to the Nutria, you know. And, you know, it's a needed thing to go out there and, you know, take care of them, you know, along with the possums and everything else with the guys that have, guide services, with their turkeys. Best thing to do for a turkey hunter is not get rid of the coyotes, because turkeys can fly away. It's get rid of the possums and the skunks. The reason is the possums and skunks will get in there and eat a whole batch of eggs. So you won't get any fuzz heads in the fall, you know. Being able to get in there and do that for, a landowner is a great thing. Plus, once you get a balanced ecosystem, you can see the area thrive. It's truly amazing, you know, through smart best way to put it, smart conservation, you know, not overdoing it on an area is truly, a wonderful thing. You know, especially nowadays where you can't drive down the street without seeing another subdivision going up or whatever in an area that you went, man, you know, I see deer in there all the time. Guys in the chat room are talking about gun rights. I'm not going to bring that onto my show, even though I do believe in the Second Amendment and everything else. The reason is I don't want to get political too much, that is. So with that, I do ask everyone to send me an email, lendingcrew@yahoo.com. My phone number is on my Facebook. If you don't like me, just call me up. No, Chris, it's not a problem, man. That's what the chat room is there for. For you guys to chat about whatever and do whatever you want while I'm sitting here chit-chatting in with any of the shows. I know that's for my thing. If you want to come on here and talk about, you know, how Matt likes to wear, you know, women's underwear and have a discussion on that, hey.
No, I like to wear women's tutus.
Oh, tutus, that's right, tutus.
Yeah, with the little dancy shoes.
Oh, you would look good with that, man.
It's official lipstick, yes.
No, it has to be the special bedazzled. The reason I know about this is because I have a daughter. The bedazzled chapstick where they put it on and leaves the sparklies in it. I think you'd now that'd make you look good, man.
Thanks. I'll have to go buy some. I'll tell my wife to get me.
But yeah, that's what the chat room's all about. For you guys to come in here and talk about whatever, ask me questions. Sorry, I don't type while I'm doing this because if I started typing, there'd be a lot of this.
Yeah, dead air.
And then you hear me come back like, and then I forgot what I was saying.
Gotta get that multitasking down.
Man, it is so hard for me to sit here, talk, and you know, try to keep up another conversation and keep my mind straight.
No, you're on a train of thought. Yeah, it's not like it's not like you're just having a conversation about a story or something like that. You know, it's more technical.
Yeah. Next week's show, let's talk about that. Next week's show, we're going to start delving in, because I know the Southern guys, y'all are getting ready for bass spawn. Actually, there's some pre-spawn reports coming in already for down in Florida. I mean, you guys haven't really dropped down in temp all that much, so those boss hog large amounts are getting ready. We'll talk about pre-spawn for down the south for those that are down there. So up north, we're going to talk about wintertime trends. And not just on the freshwater side, because there's trends all the way around on that, but also the saltwater side. For those of us that aren't
that,
hiked in,
let me pull something in when you're done with that thought there.
What's that?
Oh, no, you're talking about the spawn, the pre-spawn and the spawn of saltwater. Yeah, I just wanted to highlight April. Susquehanna River Flats in Maryland. There's the date's not set yet, but there's going to be a giant kayak kind of jamboree, boondoggle type of thing where it's not a tournament, but it's camping, kayak fishing for the spawning striped bass up there. It's catch and release. And all the money involved will go to Heroes on the Water.
There you go.
So that's coming up in April. Just mark your calendars. Just wanted to give that a shout out there. It's a really nice event, and it benefits a great cause. So.
Hopefully they won't pass up the that area like last year. Last year, I remember the term was tough because all the bats already moved in and spawned. So we had such a warm winter. And we're moving in another warm winter this year. We were down the 40s and the 30s, and now we're back in the 60s this week. You know, and kind of had the same trend to a point.
It's mild, but not as warm as it was last winter.
Yeah.
I have no problem going out fishing just about every day last winter. So.
Yeah, and the bluefin tuna are down in Virginia. So if you have a guy who has a boat, you have some 80 wide, it's a big we don't have a link yet for that event because they're still trying to get everything set up for that. But that was Chris on the chat room.
Nice.
So, you know, if you can get out there, boating side now. If you can get out to the tower, this is off of Virginia Beach. You got some 80 wide, some big 14-aught pens loaded up with a ton of line. All right. You can tear up some bluefin tuna right now. They're within 3 or 4 miles of the tower. Anyone who lives here knows what I'm talking about. And, you know, trolling around Mojo's deep. best thing to do is just step it. So you put the Mojo's down deep. Up from there, run a daisy chain with atomic or darter. Make sure it's a through wire, heavy duty. Nothing cheap here. And then on the surface, that's where or even on the midsection, run your dredges. Same dredge you run, for your offshore tuna, just bring it inshore. You know, you're not running it, 15, 20 feet. Just run it right underneath the surface, and then just behind that, I'd run a daisy chain. And that worked for us on Sunday.
Has anybody ever landed a bluefin on a kayak, with some poundage? I'm saying, go over 200, I'd say, just to start.
Oh, we had that guy up in Massachusetts who caught a big one. But my main worry is out here, especially this time of year, you get one good blow, and then everything's churned up. And a lot of these boaters on the ocean side, they're worried about the stripers more than anything else. And on Saturday, at the last day of that rockfish tournament, you could stand at Cape Henry, where the boondoggle was, and look out in the ocean, and to 3 miles, you could have walked across the boats trolling. It was just insane. Just absolutely insane. So, it doesn't behoove us to go out
troll
there
for bluefin
and try to,
out there?
Yeah. Well, they were trolling for the rockfish, and they were getting spooled on the bluefin.
The rockfish season closed?
In the bay, but it's open on the ocean side.
Right, that's three miles.
Yeah.
Yep. Forgot about that.
And for those that are willing to go after the stripers, they're down in Sandbridge. Good reports of a couple of really nice schools, a couple of real good blow-ups, with the gannets coming through and doing their thing. And, this year I haven't seen all the gannets I used to. That's really worrying me. Those gannets love to eat bunker, and if it's not the bunker, it's that whole step-down, thing going on. It's just sad. Real skinny stripers all year.
Yeah, actually, if anybody's up in the New Jersey area, they're still catching off the surf, 35 inches to like 45 inches.
Yeah, they just,
amazingly. They just moved out of the ocean by now.
Yeah, and I don't think it's the, you know, that cold water push we had, what was it, 3 years ago?
Yeah, 3 years ago. That was the last time the lakes froze around this time up here.
Yeah, you actually see the cold water. And, you know, you pretty much watch the reports. It started in Maine, and then all of a sudden there are no reports in Maine, and then down to Massachusetts, and then there's no reports in Massachusetts and Montauk, same thing, down to Jersey. And then they came down here to Virginia, and they stayed here until December, and then they moved down to Carolina. You know, and then, what was it, late March, I started hearing people catch them in March, and then, you know, up in Jersey in April, and, you know, all the way up. And we haven't had that. And I don't know what that's doing in their minds or if people have really realized, but, you know, should all be good.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they had a good spawn last year up on Susquehanna, up at the mouth of the Chesapeake. But, man, we caught a lot of schoolies up there last April. Catch and release, man. It was a great time.
Yeah. But before April, this February, and when there's February, there's
Boondoggle! Boondoggle. Boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go. Anything you can catch at last spot, here it is.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
There you go. Definitely check out yakangler.com. Lots of great stuff coming through. This boondoggle is looking like it's going to be a hoss. 170 people already RSVP'd. That's not including kids, wives, friends. It's going to be absolutely awesome, sauce approved. Really good time. And hopefully this we'll see what happens.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go. Hopefully Chuck will keep his clothes on. I know Stan's going to be wearing his sombrero. Not sure what I'm going to do yet, but it's going to be a ton of fun. I cannot wait. I really think it's going to be a ton of fun for everyone involved. I just had a new one on here. Blah, 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 blah. But yeah, Cars Park, there it is, in February, President's Day weekend. It's going to be an absolute blast. I cannot wait. I know I'm getting there probably late Thursday, late meaning like 4 or 5 o'clock. Getting all set up, going out to dinner Thursday night. I know Stan and Holly and Chuck and everyone will be there Thursday. And then everyone is going to be coming in on Friday, doing some fishing and having a great time. And then every night is going to be a
ring-a-ding, ding, ding, dong, ring-a-ding, ding, ding, dong,
of a good time. You know, partying, tons of raffle prizes, tons of stuff. It should be an absolute blast. So, again, for more information, go to yakangler.com. Look up the boondoggle tag. Click on it. Go to the Facebook site. Let us know that you're going to be there. And it's going to be great. I cannot wait. Should be a ton of fun. All right. We're almost at our hour. Again, I'd like to thank everyone that showed up. Sorry about the technical difficulties, man. Chris,
difficulty
absolutely pleasure having you on there, bud.
Saying that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man, it's been a long day. Matt, I can't thank you enough for calling in. Helps.
Yeah, no problem, man.
And I know people enjoy it instead of hearing my jib run the whole time.
Yeah, I'll co-host for you if you want next week. If I'm home.
There you go, man.
I am a KFR crew now, so.
There you go, man. Old Bill, absolute pleasure having you again out there in the Sunflower State. Everyone else that showed up, thank you so much. King Rad out in Wyoming. Hope you get home safe. And another few others, Mark Lozier, Tuesday night host, 8 o'clock. Breakfast Chuck, 8 o'clock on Mondays. And tomorrow night is the original Kayak Fishing Radio Show with the tree hugger, Chip Gibson. And, of course, most likely when he's on, you're going to hear some of the buzzards row. And if it starts going down that direction, and of course that'll be a request of the Bad Bad Cast. All right, with that being said, I thank everyone for showing up again. I'd like to thank Gak Angler. Can't say enough how much, you know, we support them and you support us and all that good jazz. Jackson Kayaks. What can you say about a company like that? Just too cool for school. So definitely check out Jackson Kayak.
Why paddle the rest when you can paddle the best?
There you go, man. You know, who am I the sponsors? Mustad, Sperry. Can't thank Sperry. They're my newest ones, and I'm loving my Sperrys. And everything else that goes with that. Lightning paddles and the whole jod. All right, with that being said, I thank everyone for showing up again. Always remember, this year, it's wintertime, dress appropriately, always wear your PFD, stay safe, and get a kid fishing and hunting. You can change their lives. With that, good night. Thanks, Matt. I want to call it.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.